Good morning, and a very warm welcome to our morning worship service here in St. Machan's. Special welcome is extended to any friends or visitors who may be with us this morning. We hope everyone will feel at home and welcome in our church family, and that you find our worship to be both meaningful and uplifting. Tea and coffee will be served in the hall after the service, and everyone is invited to go through and share in a short time of fellowship there. Just a couple of reminder intimations. Today is the last day for any articles for the church magazine. So if you haven't got it done now, I don't want Alistair to be seeing you scribbling away in your seat during the service. So you'll have if you can get anything that you may still have to do, get it to Faye for this afternoon. That would be great. Thanks. And the Guild this coming Tuesday, the 18th of February. The Guild are having an open night when Joyce's Voices will provide the entertainment. Tickets are priced £3 and can be obtained from committee members, or you can pay at the door. And that's Joyce's Voices this coming Tuesday. Next Sunday the 23rd of February, morning worship will be conducted by Arthur Stewart. And 2 weeks today, Sunday the 1st of March, we'll be celebrating Holy Communion. And despite the intimation, there's been a slight technical glitch, and the elders' duty rotas are not available today in the boxes, but you will get an email from me, whoever's on duty, later on, either today or tomorrow. And again, if you're unable to fulfil that duty, please arrange your own replacement. These are all the intimations. Thanks.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you. Just a few things just to add to that. I have some birthday cards here at the front. And I don't know if it's first one is for Jack. I'm looking out here. John McKinnon, is he here? Oh, he's not here. Will we save that for another Sunday? Oh, that's one less name to sing. Put that to the side, right? But I also have another card here. And it's for Sadie McKnight. Oh, she's got a look in her face like, how did that happen? Congratulations. Happy birthday, and there's some wonderful candles and stars in the front. I'll cover up the number as I turn the card open in case people who've got really good eyesight can read it. It's congratulations. Wonderful. I can't believe it's anywhere near that. Anywhere near that whatsoever. My goodness. It says, Sadie, wishing you a wonderful birthday. May your special day be filled with love and happiness. And that's with love and best wishes from your church family. We trust and pray that you have a wonderful... Is it pastor to come? It's this Thursday. Well, I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful time. Excellent. I'll leave that card. I'll put the card that way around. Right, so I can see. It's only a number, you're right. It's only a number. And there is still a card to follow, but there's another birthday. It's wonderful to welcome Sheila back into church today after being off for a wee while and being in hospital. Fantastic to see you. And I gather you celebrated a special birthday just last week. And unfortunately, the card isn't here. We weren't sure if you were going to be here today, so we've not got the card, but the card will follow. And congratulations to you on your special birthday. And we trust and pray that you're well on the road to recovery and you'll be able to give a full celebration to it now that you're back home and with the family all round about. That's fantastic. Congratulations to you as well. And an extra wee congratulations to Sheila, because I missed the presbytery meeting last year. Sheila is an ordained minister of the Church of Scotland, just in case for those folks that don't know, and she served at Shotts Parish Church. And Sheila has just celebrated October last year her 40th anniversary of ordination as a Church of Scotland minister. One of the very first ladies ordained in the Church of Scotland. So part of our history, part of the history of the Church of Scotland. And we congratulate you on that anniversary as well. A little belated, this is what happens when you miss a presbytery meeting, you miss out on all the gossip. So I did find out about it when I got the minutes through just a few weeks ago, So congratulations on that. And I think that deserves a round of applause on itself. Wonderful. We thank you for all the years of service to Christ and to his church. Now we get to sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to, alphabetically, it'll be Sadie and Sheila. I'll get that right? Yeah, that way around, alphabetically. Happy birthday to Sadie and Sheila. Let's sing together.
Happy birthday.
Rosalind, you're getting better and better. Every blessing from the Lord. And we'll be singing Happy Birthday again in a minute when the kids join us. Guess what? They've got two birthdays today as well. This is a birthday day, isn't it? A birthday day. Wonderful. I couldn't think of any other verse when I was driving around to the church this morning to open the service with than the verse that speaks of Jesus in the boat on the Sea of Galilee in the midst of the storm. We have that wonderful image of Jesus when they woke him up. He said to the waves, "Be still," and to the wind, "Be quiet." In the midst of the storm today, may Jesus continue to speak powerfully and say to the waves that seek to overwhelm us, "Be still," and say to the wind that seeks to knock us over and destroy us, "Be quiet." Let us prepare ourselves to be in the sanctuary, away from the storms of life, and to worship God with all our hearts and minds and souls. We sing together our opening praise, "Be still," for the presence of the Lord. Good morning, boys and girls. Great to see you here in church. With all the breezes and the blowing of the wind and all the heavy rain and everything, and you still made it to church. Did it feel like a bit of an expedition to get here this morning? Did it feel quite a tough task, was it? Was it, Arlene? Was it? It was, yes. It was a tough task to get to church today. No, you found it easy. Well, good for you. I found it difficult. I found it very difficult. What a breeze. What a wind. And it's a storm called Dennis. They've given it a name, haven't they? Dennis the Menace. That was the first thing I said as well. It's bound to be a bad one with a name like Dennis. But we're sheltered. What's that? You know how they work? Right. That's right. They change it. Yeah. Oh, right. Right. Well, I'm worried when it comes to an A, they're going to call it Storm Alistair. It'll either be the weakest one ever, it'll be the one that will knock everything down. We'll wait and see. Wonderful. Well, I didn't come here to talk to you about storms. They're outside. We're in here in the safety and sanctuary of God's holy house. Now, I wonder if you noticed something on the screen. Can you see that thing that's spinning about? What is it? It's a compass. It's a compass. Now, I have another name in my house. A name that my kids and my wife have called me for a long time. Probably told you before. Can you remember what it is? It's Map Man. They call me Map Man because I like to have a map to see where I'm going and sometimes see where I've been. Something to help me to find my way about. So a number of years ago, my kids gave me a present. They gave me one of these, a compass. A compass for using in an ordnance survey map. Now, the boys' brigades and the girls' brigades among us will recognize one of these, and many others, whoever goes hiking or camping and things like that, might recognize one of these. Many years ago, I was given this. They gave it to me to Mr. Mapman. Then, at Christmas, just a few weeks ago, I got another compass, and this time, if I can get the box open. Oh dear, which way is it open? There we are. It's another compass, this time in a little wooden box, and it's got my initials in the front, AGM, and you open up the box, and there's a lovely, beautiful little compass inside. My wife gave this to me for my Christmas, and I'll put it up on the screen so you can see both of them. Are you suitably impressed? Mr. Mapman's compasses, to help me find my way about. And round the outside of the one that my wife gave me, it simply says, so you will never have to ask for directions. Now, isn't that wonderful? Never having to ask for directions. With a compass, we should be able to find our way about. What does a compass do? It's got a needle in it, and what does the needle do? Do you know what it does? What does it do? It helps you find your way because it always points the same way, doesn't it? The compass, the needle of it, should always point to north. That's helpful, isn't it? It should always point to north. Our compass on the screen that was up a minute ago, it was pointing all over the place. But our compasses should always point to north. Now, I thought we'd have an expedition today. With an expedition to come to church, why shouldn't we have an expedition in the church? Now, who thinks they might be able to read this compass? Who would like to have a go? Right, Alistair, you come out. There we are. You hold that. You can hold it flat and level, and it should, I think the red part of it should point to north. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to find the north, south, east, and west of St. Machan's Parish Church. Do you think we can manage that? That was a resounding silence. Now, I'm going to use this compass, and Alistair's going to lead all of you with that compass. Right, so you want to follow him, and you tell us where the north point of the church is. Are we ready? Are we ready to go? You don't look like you want to leave your seats. Are we ready? 3, 2, 1, go. Right, you found the north yet? Where did he go? Right, are we up there, is it? Once you've found it, but you just stop. Where's the north of the church? Up there, right. Now, next one is the opposite of that. Now find the south. Off you go. Right, I'll go this way. You found it already, have you? Oh, well, you think so? I'm following my compass. Oh, hi, Richard. Hi there. Toot, toot. And my compass tell me that south is pointing over at this corner. And you're all down there. This is getting confusing, isn't it? Right, I'm almost too scared to ask. Down over here, all right. One last chance, let's find, what do you want to find, east or west?
West.
West, right, let's find west, good choice. Right, let's find west. Oh. Right, well, I'm just about there, a quarter of this. Right, this is my west. This west as well as south. We got one the same after three attempts.
It says south.
It says south. Oh, we'll go and find west. Right. According to mine, it says it's here. Yep. Right, okay. Right, I think I'm going to give up. I'm going to give up, Imogen. Let's go back to the front. Let's go back to, yeah, that was a resounding yeah from Imogen there. Let's go back to the front. Right. I give up. Is the congregation as confused as I am?
Yes.
Yes. Now, I wonder, anyone who's very observant and has looked at the picture on the screen, if they can notice something rather odd about my two compasses. Can you see something rather odd? Have a look. What can you see? They're not pointing in the same direction. Do you see that? Now, I didn't know that till I picked these up during the week, thinking I'll take my compasses into church and let's see if we can find our way about. I put them on my desk to take the photograph, and they're not pointing in the same direction. They can't both be right, can they? One of them might be right, the other one might be wrong, and you know what's even more worrying? They both might be wrong. They both might be wrong. There's lots of things in life that tell us they know the direction that we should go. Lots of people in life think they know exactly what you and I should be doing with our lives, where we're meant to go, what we're meant to do. But only Jesus is the true compass for our life. He's the only one that points directly to God's love at all times. Everything else in life can get us completely confused and lost. But Jesus promises us to always lead us to the love of God and to lead us to the presence and peace of heaven. We need to trust in Jesus to be our guide. We have two cards here, and the one has some lovely characters in the front, and it says they are PJ masks. PJ masks. Is that something new I've never heard of? You've heard of them? Yes. And it says, be a hero, and the card says, who has come to wish you a happy birthday, join the dots to solve the mystery. The join the dots thing inside. And it says to Nathan. How old's Nathan? How old are you, Nathan? He's four. You're four, Nathan. Wonderful. And when was it passed? Is it to come? It's to come this week. Wonderful. And it says, a very happy birthday when it comes from all your friends at St. Mackin's Sunday Fun Club and all the family of faith here in St. Mackin's. A beautiful card. I'll put that on the desk for later. There we are. And the other card, I know how old the other card is. It says on the front, 12. It says, whoa, you totally turned 12. And the wee picture in the front of it is looks like a raccoon wearing a set of headphones. Wonderful. And that's to Lewis. Wonderful. 12. And is that past? Or is that? It's past. Oh, you're coming out for it. Oh, excellent. Why not? Why not? Oh, take two out. You're coming out as well, Nathan. No. You want to come out as well. This is going to start a tradition. You realise that? I should have said he'd say it. She looked out to the front earlier. And it says to Lewis, it says, happy birthday, happy 12th birthday from all your friends at St. Mackin's Sunday Fun Club and from all the congregation of Family of Faith here. We're going to sing happy birthday to Nathan and Lewis. Are we ready? 3, 2, 1. You. Happy wonderful. Well, we hope you have a fantastic, fantastic time and have lots of wonderful things to celebrate. Well done. 4 and 12. You can go back now. Well done. Well done. We'll put this over here as well. Right. Now, if my compass is steering me right, we're going to sing a song now. Let's sing together, One More Step Along the World I Go. Keep me traveling along. Thank you, boys and girls, for joining us in church. Thank you for being part of our expedition, our journey of faith here at St. Machan's. And as you go to Sunday Fun Club, we trust and pray that you shall continue to travel along with Jesus. He is our guide, and he will lead you in his love. Thank you for being here. Enjoy Sunday Fun Club. On my phone, there is an app called Bible 2020. I know one or two others in the church have been following it every day as people read passages of the Bible from all over the world, passages that have been set throughout every day of the year. And today it came from my favourite book in the Bible, Ephesians, and from my favourite chapter in my favourite book, Ephesians chapter 2, and words that are particularly significant in many ways to me. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 was today's reading. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. It is by grace you have been saved. We who have been made alive in Christ, let us come to the one who has resurrected our souls and given us a hope of glory in our hearts. Let us come to him in prayer. Let us all pray. Almighty, glorious God, we thank you that your word is read and proclaimed across the earth. Every continent, every country, every land and every language, your word is proclaimed. A word of truth, a word of love, a word of light to guide us and guard us on our way. A lamp unto our feet. We thank you for your holy word. And that we gather here in your house today to hear your word, to share your word, to learn from your word and to live your word in each of our lives and in each day of our lives. O holy God, we thank you for this opportunity to hear from you and to share with you. Almighty God, forgive us for the many times we have deafened ourselves, we have covered our ears, we have closed our hearts. The times when we have not listened and when we have not received and accepted and lived by your word. Forgive us, Lord, when you have sought to follow our own compass in life. When we have sought to go the places that we have thought were best, where we thought we should be. Places for our own advantage. Places that we should never have been near. Forgive us, Father, be they in word or in action. And help us, Father God, this day, by the power of your Spirit, to be retuned and recalibrated and changed anew and afresh to follow the compass that is Jesus. Help us to follow him and follow him all the way. Lord, we thank you that you've given Jesus as a shepherd to us, that we might not get lost, that he might reach us and find us and carry us home to that narrow way. We thank you and we praise you. And today we give you all the glory and all the honor as we follow you with all our hearts, all our minds, all our souls, and all our strength. All this we promise, all this we ask, and all this we seek, in and through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and risen Saviour, who taught us when we pray together to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now hear God's holy and everlasting word.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And so I tell all of you, what you prohibit on earth will be prohibited in heaven, and what you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. And I tell you more, whenever two of you on earth agree about anything you pray for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, I am there with them. The second reading is from Mark 1, verses 29 to 34. Jesus and his disciples, including James and John, left the synagogue and went straight to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a fever, and as soon as Jesus arrived, he was told about her. He went to her, took her by the hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. After the sun had set and evening had come, people brought to Jesus all the sick and those who had demons. All the people of the town gathered in front of the house. Jesus healed many who were sick with all kinds of diseases and drove out many demons. He would not let the demons say anything because they knew who he was. May God add his blessing to these readings from his holy word.
Amen. Thank you, Laura. Thank you. Let's again lift our voices in praise to God. We share in a vision.
The voice of your father.
Please be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight this day, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. My career as a mountaineer began many years ago as a young teenager. My career as a mountaineer began one warm summer's day in the car park at the foot of Ben Nevis. My career as a mountaineer began at about 1:30 p.m. on that sunny afternoon, and it ended about 5 p.m. the same day, somewhere about halfway between the car park and the summit of Ben Nevis. When we met people coming back from the top who were very surprised to meet us on our way up at that time of day. When we met people coming back from the summit who told us that they had had to leave at about 8 a.m. to make it to the top and now be on their way back down about 5 p.m. My career as a mountaineer ended when I realized that I didn't have the first clue about what was needed, about what was required, about what was necessary for the task. Now, we were very lucky. It was the middle of summer when we made our mountaineering mistake. I wonder if anyone saw the news item on Tuesday, on the 11th of February, Tuesday just this past week, all about Ben Nevis, about four tourists from abroad who were rescued from the midst of blizzard conditions, who were lost and exhausted in the midst of the storm Kira, who were found somewhere in the middle of the mountain. Did anybody see the news? Quite a few of you. The Loch Abber Mountain Rescue Team said the conditions were horrendous, with a wind chill factor of minus 20 degrees. The Loch Abber Mountain Rescue Team said, quote, they had no ice axes, no crampons, I think that's the sticky metal things from the bottom of the climbing boots, and they said, as far as we are aware, no maps. Three of them, they said, did you hear that? Wearing trainers. Three of them were wearing trainers. The Loch Abber Mountain Rescue Team said, quote, they were lucky to be alive. Lucky to be alive. I got the strong impression that this was an understatement, to say the very least. What really caught my attention was the reason given for their rescue. First of all, they found a spot on the mountain where they had a signal for their mobile phone. Step one. Secondly, step two, they had an app. I've only discovered what apps are recently since I got a fancy smartphone. They had an app on their phones called What Three Words. The three a number and it's all run together. What Three Words. And this app basically divides the entire surface of the planet into 3-meter squares. The entire surface of the planet, anywhere, everywhere, into 3-meter squares, and it gives to every single square on the planet 3 words. 3 names, 3 words, as a unique identification on the app. 3 words, that's why it's called What Three Words. And the third step for them being rescued was they gave to their rescuers over their mobile phones simply 3 words. Tortoises, swarm, and announce. Announce was quite ironic considering the whole world were announced about what the trouble they'd get into and what they'd been up to. Tortoises, swarm, and announce. And through these three words alone, it took the Loch Abber Mountain Rescue Team through the blizzard, through the whiteout, right to within 2 or 3 yards of the 4 lost tourists. Isn't that incredible? Three words saved their lives. You know, I couldn't help it. I was sitting in my office thinking about this, and I got my phone out, I downloaded the app, and I said, I wonder what three words identify me where I am at the moment, sitting at my desk in my office. Try this when you go home. You could try it here, actually, where you're sitting in the church. It might be a revelation to you to find what three words this app identifies where you are right now in your life, in a sense. And the three words for my desk, right where I sit in the manse, for St. Machan's Parish Church manse, the three words that came up were shred, I thought that was very appropriate, shred, smug, wasn't particularly happy with that one, and couches. Shred, smug, and couches. I moved through to the kitchen, I thought, I wonder what it would say in the kitchen. In the kitchen it said, surprises, dreaming, and articulated. Interesting. I moved the map to the church. And I thought, what about the chancel area we're going to be standing during the Sunday morning service? And the three words for here were stint, fragment, enchanted. It's quite like the last one. I quite like the last one. Stint, fragment, and enchanted. Then I moved the map to the door of the church. That's a very significant point of the church door. And the church door, the three words that come up were building, stowing, and birthing. That's very profound. The door of the church where we come in and then go out into the world to share God's message. The three identification words on this international app are building, stowing, birthing. I don't think that's a coincidence. That's amazing, I thought. A wonderful picture of what this place really is all about. Rescued and saved by three simple words. Lost on their journey, stuck in the middle of a mountain, saved by three simple words. Now, I wonder if you know there's anything special about today, Sunday, 16th of February 2020. Now, it's time we've celebrated birthdays and things like that. But I wonder if you know there's anything significant about it in any other way. I was hard-pressed to find something significant about it until I realised that today, Sunday the 16th of February 2020, is one of those Sundays that is surprisingly stuck in the middle of things. It's neither one thing or the other. It's the eighth Sunday after Christmas Day. It's the eighth Sunday before Easter Day, Easter Sunday also. Advent is well and truly over, but Ash Wednesday isn't until the 26th of February, and the first Sunday of Lent isn't until the 1st of March. Today, Sunday the 16th of February 2020, sits right in the middle. Halfway between the events at Bethlehem and the events at Calvary and the empty tomb. Halfway between the birth of hope and hope being fulfilled. Halfway between God's affirmation of life and God's gift of new life. Halfway between the foundation of faith and the summit of salvation. Today, Sunday the 16th of February 2020, is perhaps a halfway house for us. A place to rest and be restored, and maybe even be rescued. A place to receive sustenance and strength for the journey, for the long climb ahead, perhaps. A place to reflect and remember, looking back and looking forward, where we have been and where we want to go. When it comes to looking back for St. Machan's, I look back all the way to the morning of Friday the 10th of December, 2004. It's a while since I reminded you of this. Friday the 10th of December 2004, not long after I'd arrived in the August here in St. Machan's, here in Lark Hall, I got down on my knees, and don't take this the wrong way, after being in Lark Hall for a couple of months, got down on my knees and asked the Lord, what am I doing here? Why am I here? But not in a negative way, As if to say, how on earth could you have brought me to some God-forsaken place? Quite the opposite. I found God's people ready and prepared and willing, ready to start a journey. And I got down on my knees and asked the Lord, why am I here? What are we meant to do? I prayed to God and asked him. And he gave me an answer in the words of Mark chapter 1, verses 29-34. You know, this Bible passage was a vision of what a local church should look like. This Bible passage is the mission for a local church to reach out to its community. And this Bible passage became our guiding light and gave rise to our logo, the logo of the church. It gave rise to our vision statement, our home in Christ and Christ in our home. To take Jesus to other people's homes, to take him with us, to tell Jesus about the needs that we find there, to touch people's lives with the love of Jesus, to turn people's lives from sin to service, service of his love, and finally to transform homes into mansions for mission for Jesus and his love. You know, not long after receiving this Bible passage, as many of you know, a strange thing happened. My Bible, one which I used every Sunday in church for a number of years, this Bible. Some of you will be aware of the story, some of you won't. This Bible simply fell apart into two bits. Completely unexpectedly and by surprise. And it was unexpected surprise. I wasn't abusing it, I can assure you. I only ever used it on a Sunday for church. Unexpectedly, it tore apart into two different pieces. And it fell apart not at the beginning of the book of Genesis, not at the end of the book of Revelation. Have a guess where it fell apart. Mark chapter 1, verses 29-34. Now, I used to try and use Sellotape, as you can see, to try and fix it back together again, but I gave up because it kept on falling apart at the same place all over again. So I've decided to leave it exactly as it is. And every single Sunday for the last 14 to 15 years, I've come into church and placed it at the front of the church where I sit and stand. As a reminder to me of this passage, of what God is calling me to do. And as I hope, a reminder to all of us of what God is calling all of us to do. Now, some might say, oh, this was just a coincidence that that would happen. Just a coincidence. But I believe it was definitely a God incidence for us. This is what we have to look back to for all of our journey over the last 15 and a half years. And it's what will guide us over the years ahead. And it's quite a daunting task, quite a difficult mission. It's not an easy, gentle climb. So when it comes to looking forward and thinking about this task and this mission, I often find encouragement in remembering exactly where Mark 1, 29-34 took place. It happened in the little town of Capernaum on the shores of Galilee. It happened in the home of Simon and Andrew, or Peter as he came to be known, and Andrew. Now this is a picture, I've probably shown you similar before many years ago, this is a picture of Capernaum today. It's simply an archaeological site of a very small fishing village on the shore of Galilee. This is a close-up picture of St. Peter's Church in Capernaum. And it's basically, if you can see it clearly, it's basically a flying saucer on stilts. And a number of us who had the privilege of being in Israel together got the privilege of being round about that church and even setting foot within it. A flying saucer in stilts. There are many beautiful churches, particularly round the Galilee area in Israel, but this definitely takes the biscuit as one of the most unusual churches I have ever seen. This final picture, this is a picture of the ancient house that sits right under this new church that's been built. This is believed under very good authority and archaeological findings. This is believed to be the actual house of Simon and Andrew, where Jesus went with them and found out about Simon's mother-in-law's situation. This is the home which Mark chapter 2:1 tells us that Jesus, and listen to this, Jesus called this home. Jesus called this home. This is the place. This is the home which Mark chapter 2 tells us four friends once carried a paralyzed man on a mat, and the crowds were too big. They couldn't get in the door, so they went on the roof, removed the tiles, and lowered the man to Jesus' feet in this exact place. This is the home where Jesus saw their faith and said to the man, "Son, your sins are forgiven," and later said, "Pick up your mat and walk." This tiny, insignificant, can hardly swing a cat in home. This is where it all happened. You know, when we are lost in the size of the task, when we are drowning in the details of all that has to be done, when we are discouraged by lack of progress, when we are in the midst of the storm and can't find our way on the mountain, when we are uncertain as to which way to focus and look. Do we look to Bethlehem and the manger? Do we look to Calvary and the cross? Do we look to the garden and the empty tomb? Do we look to where Jesus no longer calls home? Significantly, do we look to where Jesus no longer calls home? The cradle, the cross, and the tomb are all now empty. Or do we look to the words of Matthew 18:18-20? And especially verse 20. "For where two or three come together in my name, I am there with them." Now, for many, many years in my Christian life, I used to think that this verse, Matthew 18:20, this was some kind of whispered apology. Some kind of whispered apology. "Don't worry," says Jesus, "don't worry. Even if the church shrinks and shrinks and shrinks where you are until it shrinks into an insignificant size, don't worry. I'm so sorry, but if you feel weak and lonely, don't worry, I'll be there. I'll keep you company. I'll be there in the storm. I'll be there in the mountain to watch over you as you succumb to the elements and simply fade away and disappear." I was wrong for many, many years, because it's not an apology, it's a very amazing promise, power, and presence of Jesus. Three words: the promise, power, and presence of Jesus. It's the startling truth and reality of his love for us here and now. It's the amazing revelation that God delights in and desires to do big, big things in small circumstances and situations like ours. "For where two or three come together in my name, I am there with them." That's where Jesus now calls his earthly home. This is his house and home on earth, in you and in me now. So if you find yourself today lost in a storm or stranded on a mountain like the tourists on Ben Nevis, three steps. Find the place where the spiritual signal is strongest for you. That place of prayer, where you can cry out to your Savior and share with him everything. Step two, remember the spiritual app. The spiritual app that is downloaded by the power of God's Holy Spirit into all our hearts. The spiritual app that reassures us there is nowhere on the planet and no situation in our lives that will ever, ever be beyond the reach of God. And step three, know the three words which find us. Know the three words which find us, even small, insignificant you and me. Know the three words which Matthew 18:20 gives to us, promise, power, and presence. Know his promise, know his power, know his presence. And know that your Saviour, your Rescuer, is already here. Has already found you and is ready to do big things in your life and in mine. Let us remind ourselves of the big things he wants to do through us as we sing a hymn based on the vision and mission of Mark chapter 1 verses 29 to 34. We sing together with all our hearts and all our souls. Every so often it has been our practice to share with the whole congregation something of the work that the church is doing among committee structures and other parts of the governance of the church to help us fulfill this vision and mission. It just so happens that today is one of the Sundays that have been chosen for a sharing to take place. So that we will be aware of how we care. And today, Linda has drawn the short straw on behalf of the business committee to share with us some of their work and reason for existence. Thank you, Linda.
Well, it doesn't seem like a year ago since I stood here to do the report on behalf of the business committee for 2018. It's a bit scary just how quickly a year passes. So in 2019, the business committee continued to meet regularly And at these meetings, we discuss and review what each committee is currently doing, offering advice, help or assistance where and if needed. This may be overseeing some project or addressing a particular aspect of For example, pastoral care that has been highlighted as needing attention, or arranging a social event for our church family. In general, simply assessing how better we can do our job and identifying particular needs to ensure all aspects of church life is being looked after and administered to the best of our ability. I thought I'd highlight just a couple of the things achieved over the last year. At the beginning of the year, John Kiprot, the then Nurture Committee convener, arranged for a number of Christian Bible daily readings to be put on display in the church and the hall over several weeks. Everyone was encouraged to have a look at what was available, allowing those who did not have an example of this structured reading guidance to view and receive information on how to obtain these daily reading booklets and have them delivered to their home address. This was very well received, and a good number of folks took advantage of the information. John also arranged an Elders' Away Day to Brayhead House at the end of May, where we enjoyed a time of worship and reflection led by the Reverend Elizabeth Cleland, followed by a light lunch and a time of fellowship. Approximately 30 elders attended, and two of our sisters in Christ from Chalmers Church joined us. This is a very beneficial and special time for the elders to share meaningful and uplifting worship and good bonding time together. Regrettably, John had to resign from his post for health reasons, and on behalf of the business committee, and indeed on behalf of everyone, I would like to thank him for his faithfulness and commitment to the role over the last 3 years. On the property side of things, I'm indebted to Walter Keane, who continues in the role of acting convener. He has vigilantly kept on top of all the expected and unexpected repair works which arise in the course of a year, both at the manse and in the church and the halls. We had a quinquennial visitation carried out by the Church of Scotland property surveyor in May, the outcome of which was very favourable, and apart from the issue of the state of the hall roof, highlighted only a couple of areas needing attention, and most of these have now been addressed or are in the pipeline to be done shortly. The new flower ministry rota system has been successfully running now for 2 years, and with the essential help and support of a good number of volunteers from the congregation, we hope it will continue to provide great pastoral care. The business committee is indebted to all who volunteer to help with this very important part of our church life. But as always, more volunteers would be greatly appreciated. The more volunteers there are, the less any one person has to do. In relation to stewardship, 2019 was our year to review the money aspect of stewardship, and in September, the Stewardship and Finance Committee led a campaign to highlight this. This was done by encouraging everyone to review their giving and by holding a stewardship evening in early September. The entertainment for the evening was once again provided by the fantastic talent of our own musically gifted folks, and was very enjoyable and hugely entertaining. And the results of the campaign will be detailed by the Stewardship and Finance Convener, Bob Allen, at the stated annual meeting at the end of March. A church family bowling night was arranged in April by the Vision and Mission Committee at M&D's in Strathclyde Park, when approximately 20 folks attended. It brought out some good-hearted, friendly rivalry and competitiveness, and I'm just talking about me here, and great fun was had by all. The elders attended a compulsory safeguarding training course last year. 16 folks, elders, attended the first date in May, and 18 attended a second date in November. Another date has been arranged for April of this year, when it's hoped that the few remaining elders who were unable to attend either of the previous sessions will be able to attend. This ensures everyone is kept up to date with all issues relating to safeguarding and any changes to the regulations. The committee also discussed the arrangements for serving communion upstairs. You may have noticed a slight difference over the last couple of communions. Traditionally, the elements were carried upstairs by the serving elders during the service. However, many elders had expressed concern about balance using the stairs whilst carrying the elements, and so felt unable to serve upstairs. To ensure the safety of all our elders, we had a wee think about what we could do, and it was decided the elements would be put on the windowsill at the top of the stairs ahead of the service starting and be brought down after the service had finished. This new procedure was adopted for the November communion and seems to be working fine so far. These are just a few of the things that went on in the life of our church in 2019. I am indebted to the conveners and their committees for their continued support, enthusiasm and commitment, and who all quietly and enthusiastically organise and oversee all aspects of our church life, ensuring the spiritual, pastoral and temporal life of our church is looked after and continues to thrive throughout the year, and so ensuring St. Magnus keeps moving forward in faith. Your help too is essential in keeping our church active and vibrant. The folks and the committees very much depend and need the continued help, support and commitment of the whole congregation to be able to fulfil their role effectively. We are so grateful that the good folks of St. Magnus always come good. And so, on behalf of all the committees, I thank you all so much, and please do continue to give that great support wherever and whenever it is asked or needed. It is very much appreciated. Over the next weeks and months, you will, as we did last year, hear a little more from each convener about what their own committees are doing, are focusing on, and what the plans are for furthering the work of our Lord here in St. Magnus and in Lark Hall. We hope you find this interesting and that it helps keep everyone informed of what goes on behind the scenes. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. And on behalf of the whole congregation, may I thank you and all the members of the Business Committee for all their hard work and their deep commitment on behalf of us, and even more importantly, on behalf of Christ our Saviour. Thank you. And we assure you of our prayers, don't we? We assure you of our prayers for the future work and all the fulfilling of our mission and our vision that's still to come. Thank you. Let's continue to fulfil the vision and the mission through the giving of our offering. The offering will now be uplifted.
In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 17, he says, "Live as God called you. Each one should go on living according to the Lord's gift to them. This is the rule I teach in all the churches." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for bringing us together in this house of God. Bless the vision you have given to us in St. Magnus for its work within the congregation, throughout our community, and wherever needed in this world. Father, bless our time, talents, and money freely given over this past week in various forms and ways to further the work of Christ Jesus in this Church of God, in this town, and wherever needed for Christ's kingdom in this world. We are going through a period of stormy weather. May we never forget it is nothing in comparison to what many people face in other lands, earthquakes, typhoons, tsunamis, which can quite easily wipe away the lives of thousands of people. We also bring the strife affecting so much of this world, Lord God, so much evil in so-called civilized nations, so many innocents living through an earthly hell, with those in power in those countries uncaring who dies or how old. Do the so-called civilized nations of this world help or hinder? May our individual prayers, Father, in this short time of silence, bring hope and peace to the crisis affecting so many. We also remember, Father, those nearer home, in this town and so many like it, struggling from day to day with very little for their families. May the responsible government endeavour to help them, rather than ignore their responsibilities. Bless the many food banks, their volunteers, and all those who donate to them. Father God, we lift up those in our circle of family and friends who are ill at home, in eventide homes, hospital or hospice. Those who live alone in the hope that someone would visit a phone. Those who are anxious for friends or loved ones. We pray for the bereaved of all ages. Also young people facing difficulties and cannot see a solution. We give thanks for those who use their talents to serve others. May they feel appreciated for the work and assistance they perform. Father, bless this Church of God as it carries out Christ's work, its witness in this community, all who come through its doors. May we be welcoming and spread the gospel throughout the community. Give us all guidance in the vision you have for St. Machin's. Bless and guide Alistair as he leads us. Shield him and his family from those who would do harm them. Whomever we meet in the coming week, may we shine for Jesus Christ. All these things we ask, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Let us conclude our time of worship together as we sing together our closing praise. May we show and share God's mission. And now as we go from this place of worship into a world to share the worship within, may his presence, his peace, and his power be with each and every one of us, guarding us and keeping us close in his loving arms. And as we go, may all the love of God, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.